don't need no education. We don't need no thought control.
Welcome to Education Nation, where every Saturday morning at 10:30, we grab our second cup of coffee and tackle the biggest issues in American education. Your host is the headmaster of Liberty Classical Academy, Rebecca Hagstrom, along with co-host Mark Durkin. School is now in session.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Education Nation. I'm your host, Rebecca Hagstrom, and we always enjoy spending Saturday mornings with you when you're having your second cup of coffee. And I am joined with my co-host once again, Mark Durkin. Welcome, hey. Mark.
Good morning again to you, Rebecca.
Good to see you. And Mark is also our wonderful show producer and helps us arrange all the research and all of the guests. And it's just been such a pleasure to have you part of this show.
Been my pleasure as well.
Months.
Thank you.
So it's been a pretty busy 2017 season at the Minnesota State Capitol, as legislators have made some large strides in securing greater education opportunities for Minnesota families.
That's right, Rebecca. Starting in 2018, Senate floor number 2255, specifically known as the Education Choice Provisions Tax Bill, if it passes the governor's desk and becomes law, it will make monies available through the Opportunity Scholarship Tax Credit that will extend to a percentage of individuals and corporations for making a donation to a qualified foundation. And also just this past Tuesday, the Minnesota Senate passed an education finance bill that will boost funding for public schools and programs by $300 million over projected spending growth. Lots of new and exciting developments in education in the Minnesota legislature just in the first few months of 2017.
Mm-hmm. And joining us in studio this morning is the provision author of Opportunity Scholarship Tax Credit that is included in the Education Choice Provisions Tax Bill. He has also been a guest of Education Nation in the past, and we're talking about Minnesota State Senator Roger Chamberlain from District 38. He represents the Lino Lakes area. And he's in studio this morning with us to talk about this proposed tax credit, as well as some of the other key developments at the Capitol this week. Senator Chamberlain, welcome again to Education Nation.
Good morning. It's great to be here again. And beautiful weather, and I haven't had coffee yet.
Ah, that's right. Well, we're going to need to make sure that you get a cup of coffee here, Senator Chamberlain. Well, we are very excited about the work that you've been doing this season, trying to propose this scholarship tax credit. And this is important work. You know, we've had shows in the past about the problems with the inner city schools and the graduation rates that are suffering, and even those who are graduating are sometimes not graduating with the skills that they need to hold jobs that are going to be sustaining for them over the course of their lifetimes. And so what we want to do is provide as many children with an outstanding education as possible, and school choice is one of the best ways to achieve that. And you recognize that, don't you?
Well, I thank you. I've been blessed to have the opportunity to carry the legislation this year. And, you know, Oak Group has been supporting this for years, and I've been a supporter for years, and other members have had the bill in the past. So I'm happy and blessed to have the opportunity to do it. They've done a lot of the groundwork. Of course, Liberty Classical and other schools have been behind this and do great work. So why do I support this? And why have I given? Why do I care to carry it and take it through? Because I've seen the work at Liberty Classical. Mm-hmm. I've seen the results in the inner city schools and other schools across the state. I see the data. The data just tells us that, yeah, there's a lot of great schools out there and a lot of great educators, but the data also says it's really clear. We talk about it every day in the legislature across the state. There are tens of thousands of kids in this state that are failing because the system has failed them, not mm-hmm. educators, but the system has failed them.
Yeah.
And they deserve an opportunity to succeed, and now is the time to give them opportunity. We have similar things for pre-K scholarships. Give these kids an opportunity. Give their parents a chance. It's a bipartisan bill. You know, in the Senate, we had six Democrats vote for the tax bill where this particular provision is in. It's in that tax bill. Mm-hmm. And there's also been bipartisan support outside the legislature. Democrats and others have supported it. It's agnostic. It's non. It's not about race or class. It's about the kids.
Yeah,
right?
That is so good to hear that there has been support, bipartisan support. And I know that back in was it January or February when we had a few people coming and testifying before the Senate and House Education Committees and Finance Committees, they were people that were working with students in the inner city, and they too see the need for this. So it's so great. So why don't we talk a little bit about this piece of legislation? It's called the Scholarship Tax Credit, and it's I think it's up to 70% of a donation for individuals and corporations making donations to a qualified foundation. Why don't you explain to us a little bit more about this bill and what constitutes a qualified foundation?
Well, the premise of the bill, and it's constitutionally solid. The Supreme Court in 2011 had said the last time a suit was brought for this particular type of parental choice option, the Supreme Court said you have no standing. This is not, you have no standing to bring litigation here to challenge this particular option, because it's private money coming from Rebecca going to a scholarship granting organization that Mark runs. And then Mark has the scholarship granting foundation, the qualified foundation, and there's some stipulations and controls and accountability there. And then parents who have at-risk kids who qualify, right, low and middle income, they make application to Mark's qualified foundation. Mark goes to the list and says, okay, here you go. Here's the schools that we have. We can grant you this scholarship. So the Marks Foundation then gives the money to another private person, those parents, who then go to a private school and say, here's money. Yeah. It's completely outside. It's completely outside the public treasury. And secondly, it's parents making the choice and not the state. The state isn't saying, here you go. We decide that you go to a religious school. If you want to go to a Muslim school, a Jewish school, a Christian school, a Buddhist school, a secular school, that's your choice. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. As Americans, we're okay with that.
Right.
So
right.
That is the premise of it. It's constitutionally sound. 2002, 2011, Supreme Court has ruled twice. There's no standing here for it. So the opponents of this bill have changed tactics. They've gone against. They haven't attacked that. They've attacked and said, well, you discriminate against students with disabilities. Well, no, they don't. Private schools can work with, are required to work with, public schools to manage special education. So they brought people in to put in, they put up pictures of the disabled kids, special needs kids, at the committee hearings and said, these kids won't get, my kids won't get service. Well, you know what? If you go to this private school, you can do that, or Mark might have a school that says we specialize in kids with disabilities, and so the parents have a choice to either go to the public school, the private schools, get the apply for the qualified scholarships, or so they have a choice. Right now, these other kids stuck in these failing schools have no future.
They
have no future. Anthony Reynolds Harris, I always get it wrong.
He was one of the,
This is not a racial thing, and he made a comment at one of the hearings. This is across the state, you know. This isn't just for inner city schools, because there are schools and kids across the state who need this. And he said, we have educational apartheid in our cities.
You know what? That is really, as sad as that sounds, that is exactly what it is. And, you know, I think about when you talked about that there are schools that are serving kids with disabilities, there are private schools. I mean, Groves Academy, I'll plug Groves Academy right now. That's one of the top ones in the Twin Cities. And it's, you know, a great opportunity for people to be able to get the help that their children need by applying for these tax
credits. Crystal Ray said they have 5% of their student body are special ed. So the question is, you know, you just have to ask, what are you afraid of? What's the problem here? What? So, well, you know, I will say it. It's the educational cartel. They don't want this because it threatens their existence.
Yes.
And
the competition.
It's competition. Mm-hmm. And but they sit up there and they argue against parental, they'll support choice and everything else. And just incidentally, you're aware of the current pre-K program that state has. It's called the Parent Aware. Mm-hmm. So in pre-K, Minnesota says we'll grant you scholarships, $60 million a year to pre-K scholarships for at-risk and targeted. It's targeted for at-risk kids. Mm-hmm. And guess what they can do with that state money? They go to private private daycare and private preschools to get their kids into school, preschools. There is nothing different here.
Right.
Nothing.
But that might explain why Governor Dayton is dead set on trying to create public preschool.
Yes.
For all students statewide.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Because then we run into the same issue that we're running into right now for K-12. So, well, why don't you tell us a little bit more about the actual scholarship credit?
Sure.
Tell us, you know, what the individual can give to this foundation.
Sure.
And then how much can a student receive? How much can a family, a qualified family, receive?
Sure. So, it's targeted. Targeted to low and middle income children, to families who have up to two times the federal school lunch guidelines, right?
Okay, which I think for a family of four is like $89,000 or something like that.
Yeah, for a family of two, it's about $60,000. With family two and a kid, mm-hmm. and then four would be two kids, a parent mm-hmm. of a child and two kids. So it's 200. It's based on the federal. Federal free and reduced lunch program, two times that.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes you up, not too high, but to where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can apply for scholarships to a number of schools. The second part is, so what's a qualified qualified child? Qualified foundation is we create these scholarship granting organizations that are accountable. They have to be audited, accountable mm-hmm. to the Commissioner of Revenue. They have to submit reports. They have to submit information to the parents, mm-hmm. success of the schools, progress of the schools. So there's reporting on the schools, and then the foundations have to report to the commissioner. They have to be audited. So all this money is tracked. There's accountability all through the system. Again, it's a $35 million cap for the first year, so first come, first serve, mm-hmm. and that would be for each year.
Mm-hmm.
And the qualified foundations they can't discriminate against schools. You have to have at least two schools, and you cannot earmark a child. Rebecca cannot earmark a child,
mm-hmm.
or Mark cannot earmark a child for just going to say, I got Susie here and I want this money to go to Susie.
Right.
The money all goes into a bucket,
mm-hmm.
and then that foundation has to give out the money based on the criteria that is in statute.
Sure.
And there was another thing in mind. Oh, so 70%. Mm-hmm. So if Rebecca or Mark give $100, we cap it at 70%.
Right.
And there's a reason for that. You cap it at 70%, so you give $100, you get a $70 credit.
Mm-hmm.
So one reason for that is that the state can actually start saving money if you balance the credit amount mm-hmm. with where you're at with the state per pupil money.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually start saving money at the state level, because Florida did a study and they saved they estimated anywhere from $1.5 to $3 billion because where they set that cap.
Really? Wow. Yep. That's great. That's great news.
And just so our listeners know, too, those granting organizations, upon bill passage, they will be made available to the public November 1st. Is that right?
I'd have to look at the date again. But
okay.
They, there's a process and dates where they have to submit to the, I think, September of the year prior to the prior to the following year, they had to submit to the commissioner. And there's several things that have to be a 501c3, and they have to do several other things, but mm-hmm. they have to, there's a timeline they have to submit and get to the commissioner
right.
before they can start taking money.
And the goal, I think, is to try to have these available for the 2018-19
right.
yes.
school
yeah.
year.
Right.
Yes.
And am I correct in saying that the gift amount that the qualifying family can receive is $7,500 per year towards their tuition. Is that right? From the foundation now, not the tax credit that the individual donating is getting or the corporation, but the student themselves that's going to benefit. Is that $7,500?
I have, you know, actually, that's a great question. I should have looked at that.
Okay.
I don't know what the cap is, but it'll be around that.
Okay. Because that's a significant amount,
yes.
And that's very, very helpful.
Right.
So,
average tuition is around $6,500,
yeah.
Give or take.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to take a little short break here, and when we return to Education Nation, a discussion on the Minnesota Senate's passage of an education finance bill is going to be our next topic of conversation. Sounds like more funding for public schools and programs is one step closer to the governor's desk, and we'll talk about that when we return. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Education Nation. Joining us in studio every week is my co-host and executive producer, Mark Durkin. And today we have Minnesota Republican State Senator Roger Chamberlain, who represents District 38 in Lionel Lakes. Senator Chamberlain spent the first segment sharing the components of the Opportunity Tax Credit, which is included in the Education Choice Provisions Tax Bill, otherwise known as SF-2255. Which is set for conference committee after the Easter and Passover break. And at the break, we were talking a little bit about the level of support that there is nationwide for school choice. Why don't you share with me what you were sharing with Mark and I during the break?
Sure. Well, sometime Education Choice, formerly the Friedman Institute, a highly credible institution that focuses on education and school choice, been around for many years. They're out of Indiana, I believe. I've been to three of their seminars and conferences in the last several years. They got a lot of data, great stuff, credible people. They've got a lot of data, and they did a survey in Minnesota, poll. Mm-hmm. Scientific survey, and they found that 65% of Minnesotans support this type of education choice program. Mm-hmm. There are different types of programs, but they specifically talked about the credit program, mm-hmm. scholarship credits. It was 65% support across the state.
Wow.
So this is something that the education cartel is extremely afraid of, that Brenda Casilius is fighting. You know, I must say, just a quick aside, there is a commissioner who has completely failed at her job. She comes in, she lauds her accomplishments, and then talks about how much more there is to do, how much failure there is that's still out there in the system.
Right.
She's been at this job for 6 years. I started when she started.
Yeah.
And she has failed completely.
Yeah.
And still they need more money.
Yeah.
So
that's always the answer on that side.
For her to come out with the letter that she sent to us and continue to label these things as vouchers is clearly a sign that they're afraid of the truth, and they know what the truth is, and they don't want to give these kids a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Pure and simple.
Mm-hmm. And you know, the sad fact about that is we always hear the mantra, it's all about the children, it's about the children, it's about the children. But if it was really about the children, then this wouldn't be a problem, because this legislation is truly about the children and helping the children get an actual genuine, excellent education.
There is data all over the place that says, well, the one that we hear all the time that we know is true, they conducted a study, University of North Carolina, University of Arkansas conducted a study. They reviewed 13 gold standard studies of mm-hmm. school choice across the country, gold standard, random, you know, the scientific study of these programs. 10 of them showed positive improvement. 2 were neutral, only 1 was negative.
Mm-hmm.
That is it.
Yeah.
And for them to say anything else is just a lie. On the Senate floor on Monday, they did nothing but lie about this program.
Gosh.
Nothing but lie.
You know, I'm dumbfounded when I hear that. Because, again, if we really want to help our students do well and have the skills that they need to be successful in life, we have to give them a good education. That's where it all starts. So if we're failing there, then we're failing the nation, really.
Absolutely.
I mean, we are failing the nation.
They are.
Absolutely. Wow. Well, let's turn our attention a little bit, Mark. I know you wanted to talk more
Absolutely.
About the provisions that we in the tax bill that are we referencing to the preschool age group, right?
Absolutely. And this all comes from the education finance bill that passed in the state Senate by a 38-28 margin on Tuesday. It is sponsored by Republican Senator Carla Nelson of Rochester. And Senator Nelson also chairs the Senate E-12 Finance Committee. It did receive bipartisan support, and if signed into law, the $18 billion bill would boost funding for public schools and programs by $300 million over projected spending growth. So some questions concerning this education finance bill. Senator Chamberlain, what are some of the proposed highlights in terms of the new spending?
Well, first I'll just start by saying, you know, the tax bill with the education scholarships got six Democrats. So we won that 40. We had 40 votes and six Democrats. Same with the education finance bill, excuse me, was 38. Some of the highlights, we focused the money. She has reform in the bill. I sit on the K-12 Finance and Policy Committee, and it's somewhat painful, but I do. But it's a calling, I suppose, so I sit there as well. So there's reform in there, focusing dollars on things that work and starting to unwind those programs that don't, Crosswinds and Perpich, and then focusing dollars and stopping stupid funding on things like rocking and reading and other things like that. So I think the K-12 finance and policy bill is strong. It is good. It is starting the trend as reform, changing the direction into things that work. They also focus some dollars on more dollars on the private choice pre-K aware program. Hmm. And the last thing I'll say is that I think we had to remember here, this K-12 bill is $1.14 billion more than 16-17.
Wow. Mm. Can you say that? Why don't you repeat that?
Two more times.
Yeah.
1.1. Our K-12 budget is $1.14 billion larger than 16-17. That includes the $300 million that are new this year. $1.14 billion or 6.5% increase. So K-12 is being funded. They're being funded fully. There's no shortage of money for K-12. So anything else is really kind of disingenuous. $1.14 billion or 6.5% increase in K-12. And it's focused on reform and things that will work.
And what I'm hearing you say, too, is that, you know, let's turn away from the wasteful spending. Let's go ahead and take a targeted approach in accordance with need, not necessarily yes. opposing and just want.
Right. Exactly. And people come forward all kinds of ideas. It's if they got everything you wanted, we'd be spending another $4 billion every biennium for this. It's just not the answer. Targeted things that work and keep focusing on that and getting rid of things that don't. And that's what this K-12 bill does, and I was very happy to support it and be part of it.
And that leads to my next point. You know, Governor Dayton's Education Commissioner, we mentioned her, Brenda Caecilius, she said the Senate's version of the bill is quote-unquote fair, but that children need far more than a fair bill. They need and deserve a great one. But what do the members of the Senate see in this proposal that gives them the assurance that this is good for Minnesota?
Well, this bill, like I said, it's focusing on solid. It's not continuing to just increase spending for the sake of spending. You know, the Democrats last year, the previous biennium, supported a 1% increase. This is 1.5% on the formula. When we talk about those numbers, it's formula, basic formula. We're proposing 1.5. And plus moving money around and focusing on priorities and ending some things like Crosswinds and Perpich. So we're happy to support it. We're proud it's a solid bill, fairly narrow, and focusing on those things that PSEO, you know, college and schools, concurrent enrollment, things like that.
Also, Senator Nelson, she termed this bill as a student-focused bill that's good for all of Minnesota. In fact, it keeps funding for voluntary pre-K flat, as opposed to the $175 million increase that Governor Dayton would like to have. Mm-hmm. Instead of the increase, the bill would increase money for early learning scholarships. So right. I'd like for you, Senator Chamberlain, to share with our audience the benefits of early learning scholarships.
So, well, I two things there. One is, I do not know, early education, great for some, but I'm not a big proponent of a lot of pre-K. There's just too much information out there. If early pre-K was great, then we would be we'd have no problems. We spend, and I made a point on the Senate floor during the debate about the K-12, is that we spend, I am not kidding, folks. I am not kidding, Rebecca, Mark, the world. We spend between federal and state right now, this year, federal and state spending on pre-K, on 31 different programs for pre-K,
$1
$1 billion.
Wow. No way. In the state of Minnesota alone.
A year in Minnesota on 31 programs for pre-K. And that has been going on for decades. Now, of course, it was a little bit less the previous years because of inflation and everything. But we have been, I sat there 2 years ago, and it was almost $800 million.
Crazy.
So for people to say we're not spending enough is crazy. Now, that's just the current program. So the AWARE program is something that was created back in, I think, 2012. So it focuses, it'll put state money into a scholarship pot, and it'll target low-income, at-risk kids. And it then it gives that money to those parents. Mm-hmm. And guess what? They get to choose what school they get to go to. A private daycare or private preschool. They get state treasury dollars to go to private preschool daycares of their choice. Now, they have to be rated at a certain level. Okay, fine. But they still get those state dollars to pick the school of their choice. And by the way, when they started this program, it started with just enrolled at 4 stars right away, automatically.
Wow.
And what have they done for us lately? Nothing. Anyway, I'm sorry. That's
We understand your passion. That's why we like having you on.
So if I'm understanding you correctly, what it sounds like is going here is that much of the education spending under this governorship, they want to put towards pre-K, while the Republicans are thinking, no, we'll put some there, but we have other allocations, other ideas for education that we want to explore.
Exactly. We have to focus on the things that we have now and not create new programs. The governor's supplemental said, here's $100 million, and I want it on voluntary all-day pre-K. What a disaster. 80% of the people don't want it. The private daycares don't want it. The schools don't want it. The only people want it, the education cartel, so they can increase membership.
Right.
It doesn't work. He's thrown it out there as a bargaining chip. He'll probably give it up if we give up something big. Mm-hmm. So I hope Senator Nelson, to her credit, is just like me and others, not one dime more to this program, because 80% of the population and organizations are lined up against this travesty.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, I sure hope we don't end up negotiating away the K-12 school choice part. That is definitely one of the elements of last year's fiasco that got negotiated away at the very end.
Yes.
And it's so exciting to see it moving forward the way it has. And I hope that at the end of the session that doesn't end up happening.
Well, the governor has not mentioned the veto word. They've come out strong against it, but he has not said he would veto it. So so there is hope there. And Oak Group is very good, and there's a great lobbying group there as well. So he's not going to listen to me or meet with me, so that's fine.
Right.
We have other people to convince them otherwise. 65% support, so I'm hoping it won't either.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Senator Chamberlain, it's been such a wonderful opportunity to have you in studio with us today, and we've learned a lot, and I know our listeners have learned a lot as well, and we look forward to being able to have you. Maybe we can even have you back at the very end like we did last year in May or early June when we find out the result of this.
Yeah.
Because we want to follow this through. This is an important topic, and we really want to see our inner city students and really statewide see some relief from the poor educational options that we have now. We want to give them more excellent opportunities. So, yeah.
Well, I really enjoy being here. God bless all of you and for what you do. It really, really is important. You do the work. I just have to.
All right. Well, thank you so much. And we will look forward to seeing our listeners again next Saturday. And if you want to find out more information about one of the great schools in the area, Liberty Classical Academy, there's going to be an all-access tour this coming Wednesday, the 12th of April, from 8:30 to 9:30. And check out libertyclassicalacademy.org for more information.